The concept of the rule of law is not some dusty old thing that professors and high court judges discuss late at night. It is the lifeblood of a civilized society.
I'm Polly Botsford, and this is an IBA Global Inside podcast. Attacks on the judiciary and its independence is not part of the rough and tumble of public life. It's a rule of law issue, says the Constitution Committee of the House of Lords, who have recently completed an inquiry into the rule of law. The conclusions are stark, that the rule of law is being weakened in the UK and everyone must take steps to prevent further erosion. I'm delighted to be joined by three of the committee's members to discuss the report's findings. Welcome to its chair, Lord Strathclyde, alongside Lady Lang and Lord Anderson. Thank you very much for joining me today from the Houses of Parliament. Can I start with you, Lord Strathclyde? How would you explain the rule of law and why it matters? Why attacks on the judiciary have wider implications than mere personal safety and ego? It reminds me of the way that actors are often identified with their characters. It feels that judges are being identified with their decisions. Would you agree?
Yes, and we've spent many, many months taking evidence from all sorts of people, from senior judicial personalities to ordinary people. And one of the most important pieces of evidence that we took was from the Lady Chief Justice. And the Lady Chief Justice, in her remarks, was at pains to defend and protect the judiciary from unwarranted personal attacks, not just by politicians or newspapers, but by people themselves, because they are not able to defend themselves and they should not be attacked on what they say and who they are. Of course, it's open for politicians to disagree with the judgment itself. I mean, that's partly what politicians are for. And to then come up with different laws to change those judgments if they disagree with them. It is not for them to seek to bully the judiciary, and that was the important distinction that the committee came up with. But that was just one of a series of recommendations about the rule of law, so there would be a greater and deeper understanding of the practical effects on people's lives.
And the practical effect on people's lives is one, a question of fairness, I feel, having read your report. Turning to you, Lady Lang, one of those striking examples, I feel, is that no one is above the law, and that includes the state. And there's not one rule for our rulers and another rule for ordinary people. In the evidence before the committee, Partygate was given as a good example of this, where politicians were found to have breached the COVID restrictions whilst they told the rest of us we were not allowed to see our families. Your report says people need to feel that everyone, including public figures, is seeking to act within the law. So do you feel that that's right, that fairness is one of those sort of key components of the rule of law?
Very much so. And the law must not only be fair, but be seen to be fair. And let us make it clear about Partygate. You said politicians. A few, a very few, a handful of politicians were seen to have broken the law, but that's where we saw the system working. They were held to account for having broken the law. No one is above the law.
And when we're thinking about fairness as well, one of the things that we also picked up on was that there have been low-level crimes which are not being properly actioned upon by the police, and there are concerns that there's so much shop theft and low-level burglary that, in effect, it's become decriminalised. Do any of you have a comment on that as a rule of law issue?
When it came to people's everyday lives, walking in the streets, they see mobile theft, they see a wholesale shop theft taking place, or fly tipping, or drug crime, and so on. There is a feeling of powerlessness because the police are not taking these issues seriously. And so we were at pains to point out that respect for the law is one thing, but unless there is proper enforcement as well, unless there is access to justice, unless there is room in the courts to try people and to do so relatively quickly, none of this is going to work, which is why we called our report Holding the Line Against Tyranny and Anarchy, because that is the alternative if we do nothing
Lord Anderson, there is evidence that was given to the committee that there's a considerable number of people, I think it was 32% of people, have an unmet legal need. And one of the witnesses painted a picture of ordinary people with so many complex issues to look at. And presumably this has come about as a result of cuts to legal aid and social welfare and delays in the courts.
Yes, it's even worse than that. The Law Society told us in England and Wales, 90% of people are unable to access a legal aid provider, for example, in their area for education issues. The legal aid practitioners told us that the appeal of choosing a career in legal aid is wholly outweighed by any common sense approach to having a viable career. Now, everyone who's written about the rule of law has made these points. The real insight that I got as a lawyer, but a non-party crossbench peer sitting on this committee, is just how directly all these justified complaints about the access to justice feed into the absolute core of what, for most people, the rule of law is about, which is not only knowing that government is going to act within the law, but being able to rely on other people acting within the law, or if they don't, being held to account. And whether you're looking at non-prosecution of cases, whether you're looking at delays in the criminal or civil courts, or whether you're looking at lack of access to legal advice, it is that core issue, it seems to me, that is engaged. And for most people, that is the centerpiece of the rule of law in practice.
But then if that is the case, what do we do about it? I was going to ask all of you to consider one solution to the problems we've been discussing and that you've put in your report. What are the solutions to this sort of weakening of the rule of law? Lord Anderson, perhaps you could start on that.
Well, a start, I think, is for the political classes really to understand what the rule of law is. And I really hope that our report has helped affect that. Judith Schlar, the Harvard philosopher, once described the rule of law as just another of those self-congratulatory rhetorical devices that grace the public utterances of Anglo-American politicians. I hope we've put that to rest with this report. It's a report written from the perspective of politics, of people on the street, of people who had to govern, and I think that knowledge is a good thing. Beyond that, many of the things that are needed can be done without money, but it seems to me that the justice system, as the Lord Chancellor, then Lord Chancellor herself told us, Shabana Mahmood, really barely deserves the name at times. We've got to get these delays down. We've got to increase people's assurance that low-scale crimes are going to be properly prosecuted. And we have to ensure effective civil justice, not least by digitization of the sort that the current Master of the Rolls, Geoffrey Voss, told us all about. So there's a huge amount to do, but we mustn't forget that in many respects, we are somewhere near the top of the tree when it comes to rule of law. That's why so many international contracts are subject to English law. It's why our legal sector is so massively successful in global terms. And it's why most people, despite all the problems, and they are very real problems, do ultimately trust judges and do have some faith that we are a proper rule of law society.
If I can just take up one of those points, which is the international role that the English courts play in all of this and how important that is. Again, the Lady Chief Justice gave us evidence on this. And so much of the infrastructure of the English system relies on an enormous amount of money that flows from overseas into London. Now, in terms of access to justice at the other end of the scale, Sir Brian Leveson has reported on that, and it's not an area that we spent a great deal of time studying simply because of his report. But we did come up with some suggestions on how to improve the way the court systems work by a far greater use of technology and looking around at how we can streamline things so as to remove the backlog. This is not just about a question of money. It is a question of ethics within the law, and it is a question of technology and of streamlining. And again, the evidence that we received from the Master of the Rolls was extremely important in deciding the kind of view that we would take in our report.
Thank you. Lady Lang, do you have any thoughts about how we can solve this, how we can stop further erosion?
Well, as ever, education is the key. The concept of the rule of law is not some dusty old thing that professors and high court judges discuss late at night. It is the lifeblood of a civilized society. A rules-based society depends upon the rule of law, but let's call it the rules-based society. If we don't have a rules-based society, then we can't rely on rights and freedoms. And if we can't rely on rights and freedoms, then democracy doesn't work. Therefore, the rule of law is the very basis of the way in which we all live, and we're all in this together. But it's really important that the whole matter is simplified and that the average person in the street, and more importantly, actually, I think looking forward, young person about to leave school is given a chance to understand this. So we say in our report, there should also be high quality provision of education about the rule of law in schools to engage young people and to improve public understanding of and confidence in engaging with the justice system. So more broadly, the processes of government and our constitution need to be demystified and more widely understood. And I honestly think that part of that starts with this report that we've published.
Mm. There are also things which we in Parliament should be doing. One thing we know about is making laws, how they have to be clear, accessible, prospective, predictable, capable of compliance. We had some interesting ideas on that, and they're in the report. Then again, as a Constitution Committee of the House of Lords, we have an obligation to try and explain the Constitution to people. Now, we try to do that in our high-minded reports, but there's a question in my mind whether there isn't more we could do so that every school child has at least some understanding of the constitutional arrangements that we're subject to. All this is so important. As Lord Sumption told us, without the rule of law, we are not actually a society at all, but simply a fight for the more effective deployment of force.
Absolutely.
And I think one thing that we in Parliament came to realise as this inquiry wore on is that the rule of law and Parliament have a lot in common. We are both there in the middle, holding the line against tyranny on the one hand, anarchy on the other. And I hope that this report is going to achieve a lasting improvement in at least the quality of the terms in which we debate and refer to the rule of law in Parliament, as we so often do.
That has been a very brief tour around the key challenges to the rule of law. It looks like from your report there is much to be done, but your report also tells us there's much that can be done. Thank you to my guest today from the House of Lords UK Constitution Committee, Lord Strathclyde, Lady Lang and Lord Anderson.